Welcome. I am Sarah Evers Conrad.
And I am Megan Straffenberg.
You are listening to episode 20 of the Pony Club podcast, the official podcast of the United States Pony Clubs, also known as USPC or Pony Club. The United States Pony Club's mission is to provide equestrians with an educational program that teaches riding and horsemanship while also developing important life skills in goal setting, leadership, teamwork, and much more. The Pony Club podcast features guest experts and explores the stories of USPC members, graduates, and volunteers. Hear all about the experiences of equestrians of all ages as they share how their involvement with Pony Club preps them for amazing adventures within the horse industry as a whole.
On this month's episode, we talk to the District Commissioner of Bluegrass Pony Club, Holly Weemers, and to Center Administrator for Brook Hill Farm Pony Club Riding Center, Joanne Miller. Before we get started, we'd like to thank episode sponsor, Kentucky Equine Research. Did you know? Omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids cannot be manufactured in a horse's body and must be supplemented in a horse's diet. These fatty acids have many benefits, including anti-inflammatory effects, reproductive benefits, and immune support. Kentucky Equine Research has developed two science-based supplements that are sources of omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. EO3 is a palatable marine-derived source of omega-3 fatty acids, DHA, and EPA. Studies have shown that EO3 benefits a horse's cardiovascular system, reproductive performance, bone development, and more. Kentucky Equine Research recently unveiled its latest product, Resolvin EQ, a revolutionary blend of the omega-6 fatty acid GLA and the omega-3 fatty acids DHA and EPA. Resolvin EQ is research proven to reduce the prevalence of severe squamous ulcers in exercised thoroughbreds after 90 days of supplementation. Learn more about KER targeted nutrition supplements at shop.ker.com.
So recently, Pony Club has been busy. We helped support William Slater and his pony, Sir Wallace, who competed in the USEF Pony Jumper Championships, and he represented Pony Club as an individual rider in their individual championships. And so we want to say congratulations to William. He captured the first round and won a blue ribbon there. And just being involved with that event is a big accomplishment. And of course, we've got, you know, various opportunities going on at all times that people can check out on the website. But we've also been busy kicking off our preparations for festival, which start, you know, a year out. So we've started sharing information about that on the blog. And if people are planning to come or thinking about coming, you can always follow any of our information on the blog or on social media or in the Pony Club e-news newsletter to keep up to date on all the latest information and announcements, especially when we open up registration for a festival. And of course, the USPC convention will be opening up here in October for registration for that. So we've been quite busy. So being a member of the United States Pony Club comes with many benefits and opportunities. And obviously, when you join, you're not just joining a local club or a riding center in your region. You're part of a much larger national and international community of pony clubs that all work together through the Pony Club International Alliance, and it's called the PCIA. The PCIA includes pony club organizations in seven countries, including Australia, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, South Africa, the United Kingdom, and the United States, plus Hong Kong, China. So international exchanges, of course, have been around with USPC since like the 1960s, and it kicked off with the Inter-Pacific Exchange, which was a cultural exchange where teams from the Pony Club organizations that line the Pacific Ocean, they all go over to New Zealand or whatever hosting nation at the time. And USPC, of course, won the most recent one. And of course, the Inter-Pacific Exchange is still going strong, but we have all these other international exchanges, such as the International Mounted Games Exchange with Great Britain, Canada, United States, and Australia. And then we have the International Tetrathlon Exchange with Great Britain, Ireland, the United States, and Australia. The International Fox Hunting Exchange with Great Britain, Ireland, and the United States. The International Quiz Exchange with Canada, the United States, Australia, and Great Britain. And of course, we've added virtual opportunities for international exchanges in quiz, dressage, and show jumping. So one reason why I'm talking about this is because we do fundraising for the international exchanges, and we have a special International Exchanges and Special Opportunities Fund, which we are fundraising for, and we're trying to meet our goal for the end of the year. So if anybody's interested in helping these teams as they go, you know, overseas, like, of course, each hosting country has their own hosting expenses for these events and things like that. And it helps provide travel and lodging and food and horse rental if needed, and things like sightseeing and special activities. So it's really a great experience for so many members. And it's really just so unique and helps them grow in their life skills and whatnot. So if you want to donate, you can do so at ponyclub.org and click on Donate, Ways to Give up at the top. And then mouse down to special funds and go to that page. And then you scroll down until you see the subhead International Exchanges and Special Opportunities. And you can click on the links there to donate for that specific fund. Of course, that page also has other donation opportunities. But I did want to mention this because this is such a great experience for Pony Club members to be able to do something like this.
We're excited to have two guests on this episode, since we have both a district commissioner and a center administrator, which are two leadership roles within Pony Club that help facilitate our clubs and our centers.
Holly Weimers is the district commissioner, or DC, of Bluegrass Pony Club, one of several clubs in the central bluegrass area of Kentucky. She's held the DC role for almost 7 years. Before that, she served as the club secretary. She has a daughter, 16, who joined when she was 6 and is now an HB and a C2 in eventing, and a son, 13, who was 4 when he joined Pony Club and who is now a D2. She, along with her husband, also plan and implement the Mid-South region's annual Tetrathlon Rally each fall. Holly has worked for the University of Kentucky for the past 17 years, heading up marketing, communications, and public relations efforts for UK Ag equine programs. Welcome, Holly. We're so happy to have you on today's podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And so we already introduced you, but we want to talk a little bit about your horse experience and kind of how you got started in horses. I know you grew up riding and competing paint horses, and especially in Western disciplines, and you founded the New Mexico State University's equestrian team through the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association. Can you tell us a little bit about your riding background and what it was like to start a riding team before we get into all the pony club topics?
Sure. So I grew up in a very rural part of northern New Mexico, northwest New Mexico, and my parents just happened to breed and have paint horses. So that's what I had as well as mounts. And I was lucky we had some pretty amazing horses, and I grew up next to a national forest. And so a lot of my riding was done on sections and sections of land in the mountains at about 7,800 to 8,000 feet. So we would go and ride for, I don't know, however many hours in the middle of nowhere. And that was pretty amazing. Our horses were pretty fit, but then we had to work hard to get them arena ready because we didn't have that. And, you know, it's such a rural area, and it's mostly known for rodeo and a lot of those events really nationally known. So kind of striking in at a different chord and doing horse showing was an interesting way to grow up, but really wonderful. And so I grew up there. I went to New Mexico State University. There were 8 of us that started a team there in conjunction with some amazing coaches. So we were some of the original 8 on an equestrian team, and, you know, had a van that had something like 300,000 miles on it that we drove up and down the roads, and usually went to Colorado State, which was about a 12-hour drive for us. Still remember, we were very kind of a ragtag team, and it took all of us to do really well, but we had some really good riders and won nationals 1 year, and several years were in contention with such a small team. It was pretty neat. I still remember pulling up somewhere, and we didn't have any unified team color. Well, we had team colors, but we didn't have any, couldn't afford the clothing or the uniform type of stuff. So we all looked pretty raggedy. And I think the only official logoed thing we had was like a banner or something, and it melted on the way up because we lived in southern New Mexico. So I still remember nationals, you know, winning nationals, and we just had the saddle pad that they gave our team as a unified thing. But it was really wonderful and a cool experience. And New Mexico State ended up, it was a club team and it went on to become an NCAA team. And a few years ago, due to budget cuts, athletics dropped it as a team. And so they started back up as a club team, is my understanding. So pretty neat experience, really different. We all rode English and Western, and it required us to do the hunt seat things and the Western things and kind of do it all and wear a lot of hats, which was a pretty amazing experience.
That's awesome. All of that sounds like so neat. And of course, you've gotten to pass along your love of horses to your kids. And it's really neat that they've joined Pony Club as well. Is that how they kind of got you into the Pony Club world as a volunteer? Or was there something else that prompted that?
No, I volunteered because of my kids. I do for other teams. I think all of us as parents are, you know, a lot of us, it's really important your kids compete in things or do things. And so it takes, you know, volunteer efforts on behalf of parents. A lot of these organizations, and Pony Club is no exception to that, require volunteers through parents, and takes a lot of hours and a lot of effort for these things to succeed. And that's true in everything. I mean, I did 4-H as a kid, and my mom did a lot to help. And, you know, we didn't have Pony Club, but in this area, my kids, I actually had 3 of my New Mexico horses that moved here when we moved here, you know, so they just kind of grew up around them, being around them, and eventually wanted to do something when they were young. And Pony Club was kind of more of a thing here. We tried 4-H. It wasn't a good fit for us. Just happened to stumble upon Pony Club, and it was a nice fit. And then, of course, you're a parent, and you kind of, all of a sudden, you're helping out with everything. And that kind of really escalates over time. And it really is important to support the organizations that your kids belong to as youth. All the youth organizations require that. So that's kind of how my Pony Club journey began, is just through helping to volunteer for the organizations my kids participate in.
Being such a dedicated volunteer, becoming the district commissioner is a very big step in a much more dedicated position. What was your motivation to take that on? What has the experience been like for you?
So that's an interesting question. I think that's not, maybe for some people, it's not something you necessarily set out to do, right? But, you know, they had asked me, it was all about being asked to do things. And so I was asked if I would be willing to be secretary. And I was like, sure, I kind of do stuff like that in my professional life. And I have no problem doing that and, you know, introducing some of those things. And then all of a sudden, our longtime DC, who was actually one of our founding members of our club, which our club is relatively young, and I know we'll talk about that probably later, but you know, I had been approached by a couple of people, a few of us were, and if it would be something I would consider. And it was a very kind of daunting thing, but also something I'd be happy to help the organization and however my skill set would let me. And so I said yes. So it's a big commitment. And I jokingly call it my second full-time unpaid job, which is really what it is a lot of the time. So, and I also put on Tetrathlon Rally for the Mid-South region. And that's kind of a hoot too. So.
Well, being the district commissioner of the Bluegrass Pony Club, can you tell us a little bit about the club?
Yeah, it's considering that several of the other clubs kind of in the central Kentucky area, or this kind of Kentucky area, which is, you know, really horse prominent in general, a lot of them have been around for a long time. So we're kind of a little more of an upstart younger club compared to those that have decades and decades of existence. But, you know, we're based out of central Kentucky. We have a membership that kind of spans what you would expect here in this area, you know, kind of a regional area with a lot of riders and horse interests. So we have a lot of different cities and communities. When I took over the club, I think we had about 11 members. I think we're in the mid 50s now. I say I think because it kind of changes every day almost. I have a new member coming in right now as we speak. Paperwork's in the national office. So it's been really interesting to see that grow and change that much. And that really changes kind of the role that you have and how much work everything is and onboarding new people and just really thinking about the culture of your club. So it's a lot of work, but our club is pretty amazing. And we were really fortunate to have some pretty dedicated original people that set out to just have a nice organization that their kids can participate in and learn horsemanship and learn riding. And so I think going back to the very early days of our club, you know, the things that we value the most in our culture and where we put our limited resources really are in the education of our members, which is mounted and unmounted both. That's what's really important. I know the rallies and all of those opportunities are special. It's not as much where we put our funding. Members pay for those types of things when you have limited funding, but we do put a lot of our money and our time into making sure to provide those educational opportunities. I think those are some of the biggest strengths, and what I've always been most impressed about Pony Club is really the in-depth curriculum, what members are able to get from this and the journeys, and they really can be individualized journeys that they can do on their path. And so in our Pony Club, that's been one of our our things that's been most important is to really support those educational efforts and put time into that. And we've grown a lot over the last several years, which has been interesting as well.
It's very impressive. And I'm sure in that amount of time, you've definitely learned a lot. Have any tips you'd like to offer to any other district commissioners?
Well, tips go both ways. I think a lot of other district commissioners could offer me some amazing tips as well. I think we all have our different strengths and things that we do better and things that we can definitely learn. I think I just, from our standpoint, I guess, talking through and thinking about, I don't know if it's tips as much as anything, but maybe I would offer tips to maybe new DCs coming in. I wouldn't presume to know more than some of the existing DCs out there, but incoming DCs, I might offer up some of the tips or suggestions to really kind of think about the culture of an organization and also really rely on the people in your club. We're really fortunate. We have a really good group of people that know, they're very horse knowledgeable. We have a lot of veterinarians and a lot of equine professionals in our club, the parents. And so, you know, really relying on the expertise you have in our club is pretty important. I also think that there are a lot of creative and good ideas that different people can provide. And so because I hold a full-time job and am busy with my kids' activities, they do more than just Pony Club, which is more than enough on its own. And running all those things, I really do delegate a lot to very capable other officers and other members that really kind of take ownership of different pieces of what we do and have, you know, really creative ways of doing things, things I may not have thought of. And I think we're a lot stronger as a club when we can kind of pull together and you really trust people to do the things that they're good at or the roles that they want to do and enable the things that maybe that they have ideas to do and help make that happen. Because I think, you know, we've all been a part of organizations where sometimes one person does everything and, you know, all of the burden falls on them. And I never wanted that to be how this was. There's one too many members to do that. And I have too many other things going on. But all of my own ideas, you know, our club is so much richer and so much stronger for having a lot of input by a lot of other people. So I think that would be one of my main tips is really to just kind of enable and work with the people in your club, because there are a lot of good ideas and a lot of knowledge out there. Volunteer organizations and running volunteer organizations is hard. And, you know, I really do respect all the leadership of all the different pony clubs out there, because it's a hard job doing a DC job and doing any of these officer jobs and keeping these clubs running and doing all that. It is a lot of work and a lot of kind of blood, sweat, and tears. And so, you know, I think that's hard. And I think just relying on the other people and taking in as much information as possible. I do give a shout out to the national office and to a lot of, and we're lucky in this area because they're close by, but I've had so many people help over the years, people that have been part of the national office that, you know, maybe have moved on or in different roles and people that are still there, but there's a lot of expertise there as well. And a lot of expertise, not only within your club, but outside. So I guess asking for help and asking for ideas of how to do things and not being afraid you don't know something and really just doing your best to keep up with everything. And then at the end of the day, remembering that the most important thing we can do is help shepherd the journey for our youth members. You know, this is kind of a different journey for all of them, and they have different goals and objectives they want to get out of this. And so a lot of times the most important thing for me is that they get those opportunities and that at the end of the day, we remember why we're doing this and how important it is to have that opportunity. And it's kind of a fleeting thing before you grow up. I was really fortunate to have that growing up with horses. And I think it's, you know, these kids are really lucky to get to do this. And so as much as we can help them learn and help to learn to do this safely and kind of a lifelong love is important. So that's kind of a long answer, but hopefully it answers your question.
Yeah, and those are lots of great tips and insights and whatnot. You mentioned about the different ideas and, you know, I know you're working with all the officers. Is there any ideas or events or things you all have instituted over the past 6-7 years that you thought went really well and you were really glad you took on that challenge of, you know, maybe starting a new event or changing how things were done or, you know, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that comes to mind is we used to do this mini trial, which was amazing, but, you know, attendance and participation really dwindled over the years. And kind of pre my time, I really was at the tail end of that. And it took so many different volunteers to do. And, you know, at one point you're putting on a horse show just for your members. And it's really hard to do these fundraising efforts. I mean, our club has always worked really hard back from its very beginning that We fundraise at least a year ahead of time. Like everything that we fundraise for, like the year that we're in now is for next year, even the year after, so that we're never trying to fundraise for just an event right ahead, and have worked really hard on that and have been really frugal and thought about those things. And so, you know, understanding that our members, their kids do a lot of different activities, and there's a lot of competition for, you know, the free time for our kids, and so many different things that they want to do, and having to fundraise all the time, it can get really exhausting, you know, and it takes a lot to do these things. And they're, you know, having to do that for a lot of different clubs and everything. And so we do one-off things here and there, and they're important. Like we'll, you know, pick up, we'll do a tax sale here and there, or we'll do, you know, a parking gig or something, but we really do try to do one big event every year that we can really focus on. I think that helps keep our membership fresh, and you're not asking them all the time to fundraise or drum up money. And we'll sell candy bars and do different things like that. But we do a combined test every year, and we instituted that a few years ago, just around or before COVID, and then we picked it up, and it's been really good. And it was the brainchild of a lot of our other parent members. We have a woman that helps run the mounted meeting part of things, and she and a few of our others and one of our joint DCs, they help put that on and do a lot of the work. And then all of us coalesce around that and try to make it run really well. And, you know, a lot of our fundraising for that comes more from the sponsorships that we get for our event than the actual entries. The entries are nice and they help us break even, but the sponsorships and being really fortunate that a lot of local businesses really support what we're doing and Pony Club in general really helps us fundraise for kind of the year ahead. And it helps us put kind of all of our eggs in one basket. Isn't always a good thing, but it is when there's kind of that participation fatigue that people get. And so I think that's something that we've instituted that's worked really well for us, is to try to push one really big fundraiser a year and do well with it. And I know other pony clubs do that successfully as well. And so I think that's something that I'm happy that we've done in the last several years.
One thing that, with your expertise, I was kind of curious with, because you have expertise in marketing and communications. And we always get these questions about, you know, how to market a club better and things like that. Have you done much marketing with your club, or is it more word of mouth, or what have you been able to use those skills in what you've been doing with the club?
I would say I probably do use kind of the PR skills as much as anything to interact with industry and potential supporters, you know, as do all of our people. And we're really fortunate and kind of spoiled as a pony club to be located in the Central Bluegrass area. I fully recognize that the level of equine industry support isn't the same across the country for that, for sure. So yeah, I would say I use those skills. I'm, you know, and that helps me to be able to do that and to help write things and do things. But it really is a combined effort. I think as much as anything, they will step back and let others take over is really important too. And I can't do everything. I also am able to write and do a lot of these different things. And I think that helps too in getting things done. So I guess I would indirectly say I do that, but no, we actually don't do a ton of like recruiting efforts or things like that for our club. We do have a lot of word of mouth. I think as much as anything, being a successful club is doing what you do as well as possible so that your current members are happy and really enjoying the club or getting a lot out of it. They're your best kind of brand ambassadors, if you want to use that terminology in our marketing world. But, you know, they're the ones that are the ambassadors. And I find a lot of the new members that we get really are coming because, hey, I talked to this person and they're at our barn and they're in your club and they suggested we come in, or we parked next to these people at a horse show. We were the trailer next door and they were just talking about how much they loved it and how it's been so wonderful. And so we wanted to join. So I think doing what you do really well is as much of your brand management as going out and trying to recruit people into something. Because at the end of the day, you're really only as successful as your club is as a whole and as healthy as your club is. So yeah, I mean, a lot of word of mouth, a lot of being able to talk to people, but less about kind of the going up and drumming up business. It's more word of mouth and joining our club, I think.
So it sounds like, obviously, you know, giving the members such a great experience then helps them become those brand ambassadors, and then it just kind of organically grows.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's a good insight.
Works both ways. I mean, if people are unhappy with your club, unhappy with something going on and feeling very, I guess, unrecognized, but as much as anything, unsupported, or, you know, just people want to really matter and want this to mean something. It's an expensive sport and it's a pretty big cost to do this. And so just making sure that as much as possible, they're getting meaningful things and you can provide quality education and that they're happy in the club. And you don't always make everybody happy, but that's so important because it goes both ways. You know, bad word of mouth, people leave your club and say bad things about your club. And that's kind of the opposite of what you want for sure.
Right, right. So speaking of, you know, everybody's experiences and whatnot, what is your favorite memory with your time from Pony Club?
So I think there's two kind of, and it's not okay. A specific thing. I think in the early days being like, and I try to remember this in leadership now. And as I talk to new people that get that dare in the headlight look in their eyes, because there's a lot of terminology in Pony Club that's just really crazy, off the wall, hard to understand. And when you come in from the outside world and you haven't been part of that, like the whole DCRS, all these acronyms for all these mm-hmm. things, then you talk about district commissioner, which really doesn't clarify it at all to somebody and what that is and what a rally is and why is a rally, what is that? Are there cars? You know, there's all these different. So remembering the terminology and how kind of, I don't know if I want to say lost, but it was a whole foreign world, all of that stuff when we came in. And yet when my kids were little, my daughter was 6 when we joined, my son was 4 when he joined Pony Club. And so, you know, just how really supportive and how much both the leaders in our club at the time when we first joined and the people that helped give instruction and the industry people here, how much they wanted to impart that knowledge and how much they cared. Just watching the kids grow under that in their abilities and their horse management and their riding and just kind of that whole journey with so much adult support, I think has been really meant a lot and why I really support Pony Club as an organization. And then kind of the flip side of that is my daughter's a senior in high school now. She's getting ready to go off to college. And to just see how much she's grown in her ability, she's an HB now, and how much went into that, and to see our older members. And we have such an amazing club in that way. We have several older members and they give back to our younger members a lot. They want to come help at our littles camp, which we do a big and a little camp. And, you know, the older members and the younger members have separate camps and they come and do that and really serve as that person. We make sure that they get to teach some of the classes too. So kind of seeing that flip from learning to help instructing and seeing that continuity or that full circle has been pretty interesting. And I would say probably personally with my own kids has kind of been the most special thing.
So what other benefits have you seen your own kids get from being in Pony Club?
I think Pony Club instills a lot of really a good work ethic because you have to work really hard. I mean, you put hours and hours and hours of time into, you know, that 30-minute ride that you might have. I think it's part of the Pony Club pledge, but really learning to take winning or losing in stride, it's really hard. And that sometimes you win and don't really deserve to, and sometimes you lose and don't really deserve to, or you have a bad day and, you know, you work in conjunction as a team with this. Usually they start as ponies, which are often more evil than the bigger horses, but you know, you have this teammate that's can weigh up to, you know, 1200 pounds and they have their own temperament and they have their own bad days. And just learning that partnership and learning to take care of your horse and your pony before yourself and, you know, to put them first and to really think about their health. And so that's meant a lot. And I still remember the early days of dropping kids off for rally. I love so much the Pony Club way of like at rallies, you basically drop your kids and horses and tack off and kind of wave and say, hey, make good choices and good luck with you. And so they're on their own. And, you know, parents are meant to step back and get out of the way and let the kids do this on their own to succeed or fail on their own, which I think makes all of those things mean more to them. And that's kind of sometimes the hardest conversation I have with parents when they want to get really involved with, particularly around certifications or even some of the mounted meetings, is like, hey, this is their own journey. You have to step back and let them either flounder or fail or succeed, but it's all on their own. And so, you know, that's something that I really, really value in Pony Club is they learn time management, they learn tenacity, they learn that empathy for their horse and that teammate, that you learn a lot of humility because horses really definitely humble you quite a bit. And they learn all of that at such an important age because, you know, things are definitely not handed to you when you're working with horses. It's hard. And so I think it's such a good lesson for them as they grow up.
What are some of your goals right now as district commissioner? Do you continue to see yourself being involved?
I do actually plan to step down at the end of the year. I'm ready to, I'm ready to do that. My daughter will go off to college next year, and I've done it for quite a while. We have some fresh new people coming in that are going to have really good ideas and some really good up and coming people. And, you know, my son's moved on to doing more swim. That tends to be his sport. And so, you know, I think that I'll help out as a joint DC and just offer that guidance as the next leader comes up and moves around. And I think that'll be great. It's good for the health of the club. And, you know, so some of my goals really right now, I think the most important thing, as much as anything, is that we've grown so fast in a couple of years. And so really thinking about, I've talked about culture of a club, but just trying to keep that special culture and really thinking about who we are and keeping that to the continuity of that to give that good experience both to existing members and then also to the new members. And just really, it's hard to manage organizational change. And when you grow and all these new people come in, you want to make sure to work really hard on the culture and what makes you very special to begin with. And so I think that's really a focus and something I think a lot about as we've grown a lot. But yeah, and then I do plan to be involved. I mean, I do volunteer a lot as like a jump judge for different local events. I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to jump in. And, you know, again, running all these events and all these shows and all that it takes, it runs on so many volunteer hours, and the community has been very good to us. And so I think it's really important to give back. And, you know, I've always done that in the role. So I do see myself volunteering in the future, especially at events and doing things like that. But I will be ready to hand over the reins, as you say, for the leadership, because I do think it's time for somebody else to, you know, have that influence on the club.
Well, is there anything else you would like to add?
I don't think so. Is there anything I missed?
No, I don't think so. You've been very thorough in providing a lot of really good information. So we really appreciate you spending some time with us here today, sharing some of your expertise with us. It's definitely been very insightful to talk to you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And there are a lot of amazing people out there in the clubs that are doing good work. And I think it's really important to recognize that, you know, this is such a volunteer heavy organization, and the different clubs really just depend on that. And so there's some pretty cool stuff happening, you know, definitely outside of our club, and some pretty inventive people and some pretty neat things.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and yeah, we will let you get back to your day.
Sounds good. Thank you guys. Have a good day.
Joanne Miller is an executive director of Brook Hill Farm, a fully accredited horse rescue and therapeutic riding center. Brook Hill Farm is a United States Pony Club's riding center that works with rescue horses in all of their programs, and Joanne serves as center administrator. She is a retired professor of equine science at Randolph College, and her passion is looking at the well-being of horses through science. She has been the co-chair of the PATH Equine Welfare Committee and is currently the chair of the Equus Foundation's Equine Welfare Advisory Group and serves on the Equine Welfare Committee for Horses in Education and Therapy International, on the Wellbeing Committee for the Horses and Humans Research Foundation, and on the Virginia Horse Council. Well, welcome, Joanne. Thank you for taking some time to be with us here today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we'd like to just get right on into the questions. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Pony Club and how you got started?
My daughter was a big pony clubber, and so I was really involved with our local pony club. And I run a therapeutic riding center with at-risk youth. And when they started doing the riding centers, it just seemed to be a perfect fit for what we were doing at the farm.
So what made you want to make Brook Hill Farm specifically a pony club riding center as opposed to maybe just doing a club?
We really like the pony club curriculum, especially with the at-risk youth. You know, pony club curriculum, I mean, there's a right answer and a wrong answer, so there's no real gray in between. And the curriculum is like I said, already created. So just knowing the curriculum, just thought it would be a good fit with the at-risk youth.
And we know that you attended several Pony Club events, such as the USPC Championships in 2022. Can you tell us a little bit about what that experience was like for you and anyone you took with you?
Yeah, so my at-risk youth are either youth with mental health disabilities or they are kids from low-income families. And our farm specializes, we are horse rescue for rescue horses. So all of the kids in my program each get a project horse that they work with. And sometimes it's over the span of a few years. We have an actual school on property. So the kids actually go to school here. And those are the kids that earn the ability to be a part of the pony club. And by that, I mean, they have to have good grades and good attendance and be drug free. Once they earn the right to be part of the pony club, then they can work toward their ratings, go to the regional rallies, and of course, qualify for champs. So we actually had a whole team qualify for champs. And again, these are kids on rescue horses, and we took them to champs and we did really well. They did show jumping and they were sixth overall in the show jumping. So very exciting.
That's awesome. It's such an amazing thing that you're helping at-risk youth and also the rescue horses. What benefits have you seen by having Brook Hill Farm be a pony club riding center?
I think it really gives the kids something to look forward to. It's part of our mainstreaming these kids to work with other, you know, kids that don't have disabilities. So it's been just such a great segue into them re-entering into mainstream society.
So what tips would you offer for other center administrators of pony club riding centers?
I think making sure you have scheduled time for pony club. For instance, we have any rainy day, that's when we do our more horse management type things. Because again, remember, the kids are here for school. So they're here every day. They have a riding time. And then, like I said, if we have a rainy day, that's automatically a horse management pony club day. So I think the key is to have a schedule and keep the kids on a schedule. That would be the best tip I have, because I see some riding centers that, you know, we've talked to and they're like, oh, well, we forget to do this, or, you know, because the kids are here every day, we don't tend to schedule things. We just do them, you know, when we have nothing else to do or whatever. And I find that having it scheduled by the month is just the way to go.
Have you seen growth as a whole for Brook Hill Farm by being a pony club riding center, or are you fairly new with it?
I think we were the first riding center for kids with disabilities. So we've been here for quite a while. As far as the kids, I mean, again, you know, we are a regular academic school and we do equine therapy here with the kids with mental health disabilities. And this has just given us a program to follow. So to them, the big award is when they are doing well at school, they're doing well with their mental health issue, and they're drug free, that they're able to participate. So it's kind of a reward system. And the kids just love it. And they love rallies. And, you know, they love the whole thing.
That's so great to provide that type of service for the area. And it's something different than not all areas will have.
Correct. Correct.
So how would you say centers can make the most out of their involvement with Pony Club?
I think they just need to have a good relationship with their clubs, the clubs that are close by. I know, like in our region, we are very active with our region. We have a large covered arena, so we host different things. Because we're a rehabilitation center for horse rescue, we have so much equipment and so many things that we are a great site for the bee prep. So again, I think just making sure that you're involved with other pony clubs, I think that's the key, doing things together.
What kind of events do you all host?
Usually it's, like I said, we host the bee prep. We have a classroom, so we actually host our state meetings, a lot of clinics, like we had a polo cross clinic where, you know, kids got to be involved with polo cross. So by hosting things like that, you know, we get the community involvement with the other, you know, with the other pony clubs in the region, I guess, regional involvement. So
can you tell us a little bit more about your use of rescue horses in your program?
Yeah, so we started out as a horse rescue back in 2001. And basically, just like any other horse business, horse rescues tend to specialize. And we specialize in lame horses. So if you think about an upper level eventer, what do they do with that eventer when it goes lame? They end up coming to us. The horses are in the rehabilitation program, usually for at least a year. Obviously, they're relinquished or surrendered to us. We do also get horses from seizures that we know nothing about. And we kind of put them into a training program. And my upper level pony clubbers are part of that training program. And what we find is, you know, I think working with these horses on a daily basis, these kids are really committed. and they just work really well. And the other thing we're known for is we're the bitless bridle club because most of our kids ride in hackamores.
Well, that's very interesting. Do you guys adopt out your rescues after they go through your program?
Yeah, we have a lot out in pony club homes because, again, if you think about, you know, say an Olympic rider or an upper level rider, what do they do with that lame horse? So we get a lot of those that can no longer, say, jump, you know, at the highest level, but yet they're a really solid 3-foot jumper. So a lot of the horses that we rehab go into pony club homes. Our goal is to get these horses into hands of kids that can't afford a nice horse.
Well, that's certainly a very noble endeavor. You obviously give a lot back to your community, both with helping rescue horses as well as helping youth and children who need a little extra assistance.
And the other thing we've been known to do is we usually have one or two that are, you know, when you do that B rating and that you don't have that horse that lunges, we usually have at least one or two of those fabulous lunging horses. And we'll have the whole group who are testing lunge that particular horse. So
you must be a very hot commodity in your region then. I know sometimes the lunging can be a little bit of a sticky point for some people trying to certify.
Right. That's right. That's right. So for a while, we had a horse named Mikey who I can't tell you how many ratings he did. That's really all he did is he did ratings for lunging. So but anyway, we've rescued and adopted out 539 horses since 2001.
What has been your favorite part of being involved with Pony Club, your journey so far?
I think just the people that you meet. And I feel like the horsemanship through Pony Club is so much better. And I think that's what we need to be encouraging for our future is not just good riders, but good horse women and men.
I'm going to go back to that number of horses you've adopted out. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What time span is that for?
It's since 2001.
Wow. That is a big endeavor. What would you tell to someone that might be thinking about adopting a rescue horse?
For Pony Club, I think that probably rescue horses are the most overlooked group. Just to give you an example, this was probably when my daughter was involved. And again, I was doing this then. There were 12 kids doing a B rating and 5 of them passed and all 5 of them were on a rescue horse. So something that I always say is, you know, don't overlook the rescue horses because really they have so much to offer and they're usually your schoolmasters, which is what we're looking for our children.
Do a lot of your kids that graduate through the program then end up adopting a horse or going on to like still stick with horses?
Yeah, we have an awful lot of them that do. We really do. I think because we're a rehab facility, what I see more of is going into some kind of vet medicine. Just to give you an example, one of our Pony Club graduates makes the horse medicine boots. She's an engineer and she designs those. Or we have a vet tech on staff because of the lameness issues that we have. And so just even going into the veterinary medicine field or parasites. I have another girl who ended up being a parasitologist from doing all the parasite studies that she did here at the farm. She just loved it.
That is so heartwarming. Like, you know, these kids have had their struggles and found the right resource to then be able to get the help they need and then go on to do like these amazing things and get through very challenging like educational opportunities. So
yeah.
that is awesome. Is there anything else you would want to add or let the Pony Club audience know about you and your program?
If anybody's interested, go to our website. It's www.brookhillfarm.org. And if you're in the Virginia area and want to visit, we welcome anybody. And pony clubbers are always welcome to come help out anytime.
That's fabulous. And then do you have any plans for any upcoming events and whatnot?
We kind of work toward our regional rally. That's kind of our big thing. Remember, I have at-risk youth, so they don't really have a lot of money and they have no parent support. So right now we're in the, you know, I had a bunch qualify for champs. We didn't have money to go to champs this year. We usually only go every third year, but all my kids qualified. So what we did is we looked at what we need to improve on for next year, and we're just in the rebuilding stage. So right now we're doing a lot of groundwork and, you know, back to flat work. And our philosophy for show jumping is it's dressage with poles in the way. So we're doing a lot of flat work, a lot of dressage work, which we will start to incorporate into the show jumping in the spring. And then again, go to our regional rally and see where our finances are as far as going to champs.
Well, with that, and you talk about, you know, the lack of support, you must have to do a lot of fundraising events and things like that. Do you have any tips for other clubs or centers that might need to do fundraising like you are?
again, we're a nonprofit. So, and I guess Pony Club is too. So I guess they can fundraise through that. Yeah. I think that the way that I find is getting sponsors. Finding sponsors for your club is really the way to go.
That's great. Well, we wish you all the luck with your program and everybody that's working hard in it and all of that. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you inviting me.
And again, we'd like to thank episode sponsor Kentucky Equine Research. If you would like to sponsor a Pony Club podcast or have your company represented in other ways with USPC, then reach out to us at advertising@ponyclub.org. And we would like to offer a big thank you, as always, to our Pony Club corporate sponsors. Carrots, who is the official apparel sponsor, Shapley's, the official grooming product sponsor, The Horse, Triple Crown, the official feed sponsor, WinTech, the official saddle sponsor, and Zoetis, the official equine health and wellness partner.
Don't forget to visit shopponyclub.org so you can look your best while riding and attending Pony Club events. We also have a wide range of accessories like horse grooming equipment, backpacks and bags, and more, along with all of the educational materials exclusive to Pony Club. Shopponyclub.org is your one-stop Pony Club shop.